You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side.
Rise and shine, rock and rollers. This is the seventh installment of Let's Rock and Roll. I'm your host, DJ Treble, and I can't wait to share my classic rock knowledge from my classic soul with you all every Monday night, or in this case, Friday morning, on radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Each week, I'll be telling you about a legendary band from the classic rock era. We're talking 60s and 70s here. They'll have the baby boomers feeling nostalgic, and the newer generations ready to discover something old, yet something brand new. This week, we'll be jamming together to one of the most controversial bands of the 60s, The Doors. Now, the setting for this origin story is the UCLA School of Theater, Film, and Television, and the characters are acquaintances Jim Morrison and Ray Manzarek in July of 1965. Morrison admitted to Manzarek that he had been writing songs. He had never classically been trained to read music or even play instruments, but rather, Morrison's biggest influences were derived from poetry, especially in his lyrics, obviously. But he shyly sang future Doors hit Moonlight Drive to Manzarek after Manzarek encouraged him, because he's like, oh, dude, you write songs? Oh, let me hear. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess. But Manzarek loves it, and he encourages the idea of forming a rock band. At the time, he was the keyboardist for another band called Rick and the Ravens with his two brothers, Rick and Jim Manzarek. Drummer John Densmore, who knew Ray from meditation classes, he joins the band, along with now vocalist Jim Morrison and bass player Patty Sullivan. The incarnation of the Doors isn't complete yet. The brothers and Patty leave, and guitarist Robbie Krieger enters, and in mid-1965, the Doors are born. The name of the band, oh god, I love these stories, is derived from the title of the book The Doors, A Perception by Aldous Huxley, an author of Brave New World. The origin of Huxley's book is from a line William Blake's The Marriage of Heaven and Hell. If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. That's deep. Doors, in the band The Doors interpreted the doors of perception to reference drugs. You gotta love the 60s. By 1966, the Doors become a regular act at the London Fog in Los Angeles, although the club was nearly empty every night. The band used this to their advantage by rehearsing and perfecting songs such as The End, When the Music's Over, and Light My Fire, and even extend them to nearly 30 minutes full of improvisation. Eventually, the Doors became the main band at the famous Whiskey A Go-Go nearby, while Jim Morrison sought after a record label to sign his band. He found it in Elektra Records, and the band signed in August 1966. That same month, the Doors were fired from Whiskey A Go-Go after Morrison added an explicit retelling and profanity-laced version of the Oedipus myth during The End. Oedipus being, I kill my father, yet I'm in love with my mother. Greek stuff. This appears with a little less profanity in the version featured on the debut album. Speaking of that debut album, the Doors released their self-titled first album in January 1967, featuring compositions like Break On Through to the Other Side, the song you heard in the intro, Light My Fire, and their 12-minute epic, The End, which you're going to listen to in a few minutes, well, the first few minutes. It started as a song written by Morrison about a recent breakup, but expanded to a deeper psychological interior monologue by the Lizard King himself. Here's The End on Penguin Radio.
This is the end, beautiful friend. this is the end. My only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end. No safety or surprise, the end. I'll never look into your eyes again. Can you picture what will be so limitless and free? Desperately in need of some stranger's hand in a desperate land. Lost in a romance, wilderness of pain, and all the children are insane. All the children are.
Welcome back. This is DJ Treble, and you're listening to Let's Rock and Roll on Penguin Radio. I pretty much cut out the whole profanity out of that song. Just that's kind of the safe few minutes, but very, very good song. The first album features the band's single Break On Through to the Other Side, performed for the first time in New Year's Day 1967 on a Los Angeles TV show called Shebang. However, and much like the majority of the Doors' early performances, the clip has never been released to the public. Break On Through had very little success on the radio, so the band turned to a Robbie Krieger composition, Light My Fire. Condensed to 3 minutes from its original length of seven, to make it radio-friendly, the long keyboard and guitar solos are cut out, aka the best part. Light My Fire becomes a number one hit and catapulted the band into newfound stardom. In March 1967, the Doors performed at the Matrix Club in San Francisco for 4 nights. Two of the nights were to become the earliest known live recordings of the band ever. This is rare and insane to think about, but they did start off playing clubs to nobody. After the Doors performed The End on TV for CBC, Canadian Broadcast Corporation, in Toronto in May 1967, they really made an impression in September of the same year with their performance on The Ed Sullivan Show. According to Ray Manzarek, the band was set to perform Light My Fire, but with a slight change to the lyrics. 15 minutes before the show aired, a producer for the show demanded that their lyric, Girl We Couldn't Get Much Higher, be changed to Girl We Couldn't Get Much Better to retain the show's family audience and not spoil their ears with references to illegal drug use. The band agreed, but Morrison was furious, and as soon as the producer left, he infamously said, We're not changing a word. Come to the performance of that song, Morrison sings the song as it's sung, keeping the higher part. As a result, the Doors were told to never appear on the Ed Sullivan Show again, to which Morrison replied, Hey man, we just did the Sullivan Show. After that memorable performance and really cool story, the Doors would be constantly performing, whether on tour or on television. Meanwhile, the band releases their second album in September 1967, Strange Days. The most notable singles from this album is People Are Strange and Love Me Two Times. The band had never had an official bass player. Instead, Manzarek would play the bass tracks on his keyboard while playing his own pieces. Such a talented keyboardist, holy hell. On Strange Days, the Doors had to record their studio tracks with studio bassists and stick with the keyboard bass for live performances. I'll be playing you a song from this album, the B-side of Love Me Two Times, Jim Morrison's song that inspired Manzarek to form the Doors, Moonlight Drive. This song is written in a conventional blues arrangement and sounds the opposite, almost offbeat. It's not, though. You're listening to the song that started it all for tonight's band, or this morning's band, Moonlight Drive on Let's Rock and Roll on radio.dominican.edu. Welcome back to Let's Rock and Roll on Penguin Radio. I'm your host, DJ Treble. While performing in December 1967 promoting Strange Days, Jim Morrison had made some enemies with the local police in New Haven, Connecticut. Here's the story. It's a classic. Prior to the start of the show, Morrison was making out with a female fan backstage in a bathroom shower stall. How romantic. And he even had a girlfriend for a long time prior to this and up until his death, but more on her later. A police officer caught them mid-makeout session and asked them to leave, not realizing the man was Jim Morrison himself. Morrison tells him to go away, specifically, eat it. The officer pulls out a can of mace and warns the two with it. Last chance. Morrison continues to taunt the police officer. I don't remember what he said, but basically he just kept saying, eat it. But Morrison is sprayed in the eyes with the mace, delaying the concert for an hour. I'd be pissed if I was at something like this. Where's my money's been wasted? What the heck? But there's another version to the story that says the fan was also sprayed in in the eyes with mace, but we're not really sure about that one. Jim recovers and the show goes on until halfway through the first set, and it's about 30 minutes in. Morrison decides to not keep his mouth shut. This is the theme with him for concerts. And he goes on a long, profanity-laced rant in Jim Morrison fashion, full of inappropriate words to the audience, recounting the mace incident that happened to him. The police were not having it, so the concert abruptly ends, and the police drag Morrison off stage and arrest him in front of the audience. He is the first rock star in history to have this happen to him, in case you need more trivia in your life. He was charged with inciting a riot, indecency, and public obscenity, but the charges were dropped a few months later due to a lack of evidence, even though I'm pretty sure the evidence, if you were at the concert, well, then again, eyewitness testimony, but whatever. Back to the business for the Doors, as their third album, Waiting for the Sun, was released in July 1968. Notable things about this album are the first signs of tension within the band due to Morrison's increasing dependence on alcohol and other drugs, basically making him difficult to work with. Morrison was also upset that his poetry weren't being made into enough songs. The producer of the album told him his work wasn't commercial enough. Marketing, marketing, marketing! This classic example is the intended 17-minute song Celebration of the Lizard, which is where the Lizard King nickname comes in, a medley of spoken verse from the series of original poems. One of the passages, Not to Touch the Earth, did become a song on the album. Waiting for the Sun's only hit was Hello, I Love You, becoming the band's second number one hit. The Doors were almost sued by the Kinks for this song. It sounds very similar to the Kinks' All Day and All the Night, a huge hit 4 years earlier. Morrison never cared for this song, so much that he would leave the vocals to Manzarek while performing this live. I'm not playing that for you this morning, though, but rather the final song off the album, 5 to 1. Lyrically inspired by more poetry, there's a funny segue into a huge Doors incident in 1969 that involves this song. Before I give you the story, I'm giving you 5 to 1. Listen to this on Let's Rock and Roll with DJ Treble on radio.dominican.edu.
Together one more time. Get see, I gotta go out and scarf these people.
Pausing for station identification. This is Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Currently, you are listening to Let's Rock and Roll, and I'm your host, DJ Trouble. I hope you're enjoying this hour all about the Doors, because I have not had any coffee in my system, and I'm very, very tired, but by no means am I grumpy, because I am enjoying this music. After the release of Waiting for the Sun, the Doors continue to perform, again, and Morrison continues to perform drunk or high off whatever drugs he's taking, again. This includes a performance in Amsterdam, where Morrison collapses on stage after a drug binge. However, I did promise a story about 5-1 performed live that was a huge incident for the Doors. Rock and Rollers, I give you the Miami incident. On March 1st, 1969, the Doors delivered their most controversial concert of their career, one that nearly broke up the band. 12,000 people were in attendance for the Miami Auditorium that seated 7,000. Jim Morrison had already been drinking all day leading up to the show. He missed his flight to Miami because he was so drunk and showed up to the show 90 minutes late. When he did finally come out to perform, the audience witnessed the weirdest, most uncomfortable concert of their lives. Think of the most uncomfortable moment of your life, amplify that by 100, and it was this concert. During 5-1, Morrison was calling the audience idiots and slaves towards the end of the song. That's the calm part. Morrison thought it was a great idea, in his drunken mind, to adopt an antagonistic style of performance art after seeing a play interpret that style. While on stage, I have no idea what that play was, by the way, don't even ask. Morrison taunted the crowd with manic statements of love and hate, from, love me, I can't take it no more without no good love, I want some lovin', ain't nobody gonna love my ass, to, you're all a bunch of effing idiots, what are you gonna do about it? Did I mention he was drunk during this? Yes, I did. Because he wouldn't stop saying these things throughout the entire night, the Doors couldn't even get through their second song without Morrison halting the concert to tirade some police officers, because this is Jim Morrison we're talking about. He took the hat off of one of the onstage officers and threw it into the crowd. And so, I don't know what the officer did to it. Anyway, well, I'm so tired. I'm so sorry. Their manager described the concert as a bizarre circus-like thing. The equipment manager for this concert recalled an escalating incident. Somebody jumped up and poured champagne all over Morrison, so he took his shirt off, soaking wet. So, he tells the audience to take off all their clothes. Let's see a little skin. Let's get naked. And I just felt so uncomfortable saying that sentence. Then the climactic event. Morrison holds his shirt in front of his private area and starts to make some hand movements behind it. You can guess what hand movements, right? Some sort of puppetry, I suppose. But he allegedly exposed his thing on stage. 4 days after the concert, the Miami police issued a warrant for Morrison's arrest, charging him with exposing himself while on stage, shouting obscenities to the crowd, initiating oral sex on Robbie Krieger, oh, that escalated quickly, and drunkenness during his performance. Yeah, no kidding. A plea bargain for Morrison was instead of jail time proposed to him. So instead of jail, he performed a free concert in Miami, which he rejected. Moron. He was sentenced to 6 months in jail, but his conviction was appealed. Morrison would die before he was completely let go of his charges. But actually, in 2010, Morrison was granted a posthumous pardon of his charges from Miami-Dade County for this incident. Well, you know, he's kind of dead. You can't really do anything about it. Controversies aside, I hope you didn't forget the Doors created music and released albums, right? They released their fourth album and considered their weakest in the Morrison era, The Soft Parade. I'll be playing you half of that title track in a few moments. Although the album was successful, music critics judged the band for their musical integrity, basically not sounding like the first album, Doors. Their third hit single, Touch Me, is on this album and features pop arrangements and horn sections, something that you didn't really hear in Doors songs initially. The album also took a hit for the length of time it took to record during the drunkenness and unreliability of Morrison, forcing the cost of the studio to nearly drive the Doors broke. Despite this, the song The Soft Parade is a really cool song, beginning with an imitation of a Christian revivalist preacher from Morrison, followed by several different lyrical and melodic changes with a bunch of different musical styles. I can't play the full song, it's 8.5 minutes, but I can treat you and welcome you to The Soft Parade, only on Let's Rock and Roll with DJ Trouble on radio.dominican.edu.
When I was back there in seminary school, there was a person there who put forth the proposition that you can petition the Lord with prayer. Petition the Lord with prayer. Petition the Lord with prayer. You cannot petition the Lord with prayer. Can you give me sanctuary? I must find a place to hide, a place for me to hide. And shoes, avenues, leather riders.
DU Did You Know, brought to you by Penguin Radio. DU Did You Know, in 1917, Dominican College was the first Catholic college to grant the BA degree to women. Dominican College of San Rafael became Dominican University of California at the beginning of the 2000-2001 academic year. This change recognized the university's graduate degree program, diverse student body, and global perspective. DU Did You Know, brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
Welcome back to Let's Rock and Roll with DJ Trouble. This hour, we've been listening and talking all about The Doors, and it's great to talk about one of my favorite bands. We're also not done yet with the discussion of Jim Morrison being on the wrong side of the law. In November 1969, he and his friend Tom Baker were charged with interfering with a flight to Phoenix, drunken harassing the airline staff. Morrison almost faced 10 years in prison for this incident, but the charges were dropped in 1970 after the stewardess on the flight claimed mistaken identity. Flashback to July 1969, the Doors gave two normal, enjoyable concerts at the Aquarius Theater on Hollywood. The first night was performed in front of an audience. The second show was not. It was a rare set list for the Doors during these shows, performing Morrison's Celebration at the Lizard, for example. Both of these shows featured an original Morrison poem dedicated to Rolling Stones guitarist Brian Jones, who had drowned to death that month. The poem was called Ode to L.A. While Thinking of Brian Jones, Deceased. Jones was a friend of Morrison and Manzarek. 1970 saw a slight renovation of the Doors' sound, incorporating more blues and hard rock into their fifth album, Morrison Hotel, released in February 1970. The album's most famous song, Roadhouse Blues, is the beginning of what music critics consider the Doors' best album. I think their first album is the best, but this one's cool too. I'll be playing you a song under 3 minutes, Peace Frog. There's an awesome, catchy hook that I know you'll like. Lyrically, there's also allusions to the New Haven incident, the Chicago police riot during the 1968 Democratic National Convention, and Morrison's most traumatic event while he witnessed a car accident at a Native American reservation and sees two Native Americans dead alongside the road. He called Indians scattered along the highway. Listen for these references in Peace Rock on Let's Rock and Roll with DJ Trouble here on Penguin Radio.
Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles.
Welcome back to Let's Rock and Roll on Penguin Radio. I'm your host, DJ Treble. Although the Doors were phenomenal musically in 1970, the motivation to perform to their abilities was waning. The band performed at the Isle of Wight Festival in August. The concert was notorious for The Who's electric performance, and on Morrison's 27th birthday on December 8th, Jim recorded another poetry session, part of which would end up on the Doors album after Morrison's death, and somewhat dedicated to him, An American Prayer. 4 days later, the Doors performed live for the last time, and it ends in disappointment. Morrison has a breakdown on stage halfway through the show in New Orleans, slamming his microphone multiple times on the stage floor until it broke, sits down, and refuses to continue his performance. Luckily, in April 1971, we say goodbye to Jim Morrison, the musician, with the Doors' sixth album, L.A. Woman. 10 out of 10 would recommend this album for everyday life. Remember how I said the first album was the best? I always think that, and then I listen to this album, and I'm like, nah, this is the best. The title track, Love Her Madly, and Riders on the Storm, which you'll hear next, are all staples on classic rock radio. Like I said, this is still their best album. Really, really is. Anyway, let's say goodbye to Jim Morrison. Spoiler alert, he dies, in case you didn't know, with the echoey Riders on the Storm, only on Penguin Radio.
Riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, and packed her out alone. Riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road, his brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday, let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road, yeah. We'll be right back.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out on loan, riders on the storm.
Welcome back to Let's Rock and Roll on Penguin Radio. This is your host, DJ Trouble. We're wrapping things up here on the seventh installment of the show tonight, paying an hour-long tribute to The Doors. After the release of L.A. Woman, Morrison leaves the United States with his longtime girlfriend, Pamela Corson. That was the girl I was talking about in the beginning while he was making out with all those other chicks. But yeah, he had a lady throughout all the infidelity in rock and roll. And he moved to Paris with her, interested in becoming a writer in exile, and retired from music completely. This happens in March 1971. Morrison dies on July 3rd, 1971. 1971. Found in a bathtub by Pamela. It's not actually confirmed as to how he died, potentially of a heroin overdose, and the official death certificate cites heart failure. Pamela Corson actually blames herself for the death, and she commits suicide at the age of 27 3 years later. Morrison is one of many members to join the 27th Club, musicians who die when they are 27. I mentioned this in my Rolling Stone show and my Jimi Hendrix show, but these are the notable musicians in the club from rock and roll. Brian Jones, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, and so many more. I always say it's a shame rock and roll loses their personalities that makes it so great so young. I never mentioned more than Jim Morrison, but I also say that fame can really get to your head and it's really hard to control those impulses. But there is really no one like Jim Morrison. The long hair, the tight leather pants, the wow personality, the brooding and personal poetry. Well, okay, there were people like Jim Morrison, but his certain rebellion that he lived by. There will be those who imitate him, but there would just be merely a copy. There is no one like the original Jim Morrison. The Doors carried on without Morrison, releasing two albums, Other Voices and Full Circle, before officially breaking up in 1973. An American Prayer was released in 1978, this being the first Doors reunion. The album consists of spoken word performances of Morrison reciting his poetry. In 1993, the Doors were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they would continue to sporadically reunite five more times. Most recently in 2011, when they collaborated with Skrillex, or it's basically he's a dubstep DJ, makes electronic sounds, and yeah. This isn't necessarily a reunion, but a collaboration between Skrillex and Ray Manzarek. And Ray Manzarek was like, dude, what you do is awesome, man. And apparently they bonded really well musically. So the whole object of kind of this collaboration, this happened with five other musicians that I can't name at the top of my head. They take two genres of music, of musicians that don't even mix, really, and they mesh them together to kind of create a song. Hopefully they bond really well. These two did. And their byproduct was Breaking a Sweat, which sampled Jim Morrison's vocals into his beats, I suppose. And Ray Manzarek, like, loves it. Absolutely loves it. But other than that, nothing new. Nothing new going on with the Doors, apart from new releases of never-before-seen concerts. That's the only thing you really expect from the Doors, but other than that, they're kind of set in stone in rock and roll history, never to be revived again. Sorry. But before we end this morning's show, I have to talk about the 1991 Oliver Stone film, The Doors. We gotta talk about this, because this movie is kind of funny, but then you get really, really sick of it. However, Val Kilmer stars as Jim Morrison, and he's really good. Like, he's really good as Jim Morrison. Looks exactly like him. It's kind of crazy. But I used to love this movie when it played on VH1 Classic growing up. Yes, VH1 Classic. It was actually my favorite channel. And I would watch it all the time anytime it aired, because I was like, this movie is so cool. It totally describes Jim Morrison. He was crazy, and he was alcoholic, and he was such a narcissist. Yeah! And then I read later that Jim Morrison wasn't actually like that, and then Hollywood just exaggerated it because this is an Oliver Stone film. That finally set into my brain, but eh. So now I'm kind of not so favorable with it, but and I do recognize the Hollywood vibe throughout the movie now, but I mean, I still watch it. It's okay. But the biggest hater of this movie is no other than Ray Manzarek, who died in 2013. May he rest in peace. Citing flaws in critical scenes and the general portrayal of Jim Morrison. The movie is Jim Morrison as a crazy sociopathic alcoholic who dominated the band, which isn't true. Manzarek even asks, where was the sensitive poet and the funny guy? The guy I knew was not on that screen. But, I mean, actually, one more thing about Oliver Stone. He has a reputation of not listening to anybody except himself. So, John Densmore was actually credited as kind of a background guy in the movie. I don't remember what, but throughout the film, like the production of the film, John Densmore was like, hey, I think this would be better portrayed as Jim Morrison for this scene or whatever. Or maybe you shouldn't be so excessive with this sort of scene or whatever. And Oliver Stone was like, yeah, okay, that sounds great. And he didn't actually do it. And he just went with his own vision. So, and a lot of people don't really like that, but I mean, oh well. But to quote John Densmore about the film, it could have been a lot worse. But still, go see it at least once. You'll understand what I mean, and you'll kind of laugh at it, especially. But that concludes tonight's show, or this morning's show. Don't forget to check out all the other DJs at radio.dominican.edu. I hope you enjoyed this hour about the Doors this morning. I'm going to have some coffee, but oh my god, I really need coffee. This is DJ Trouble signing off with People Are Strange because, well, they are. We all know that. You're strange, I'm strange, we're all strange. This is Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official station of Dominican University of California. Go Penguins!
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange.